Pod Hegi. So, Omagana, Tananda, Shaganan, Jana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, and Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shikurve, Namaha. So, thank you all for the nice reception. I guess we had an earlier reception today, too, so this is the second reception here. This is the formal one, and before was the informal one. So, we just came from Fiji. Actually, the big thing in Fiji was the celebration of Ram Nomi. So maybe we can speak about Lord Ram. Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna. Shishi. Kiri Govardhan. Gornitai. So, everybody knows about Lord Ram here or no? No, you don't know about Lord Ram. So, see, about Lord Ram, of course, my primary source of Lord Ram, about Lord Ram, is the Valmiki Ramayana. And Valmiki is a very wonderful person. Just talking about Valmiki, even before you get to Lord Ram. Because what did he teach us? He taught us that by chanting Krishna's names or Ram's names, one can overcome all anarthas, right? Anartha means things you don't want, like lust, anger, greed, illusion. So, of course, we all know the story, which I'm not going to tell, how Valmiki was a dacoit before, and he had so many anarthas. And he overcame them by chanting Ram Nam. As they say, Ram Nam Sachahe. I know they generally do that at funerals, but we should always chant that. Ram Nam. That is the truth. Ram Nam Sachahe is the truth. So, the point I'm going to make is a very interesting point. Did you see, I have a question for all of you. Did you see many people chanting Ram Nam, yet they're not getting free of anarthas like Valmiki? Now, what's the reason for that? Anyone have any ideas? They chant. We see people, the Ram Mandalis, who are chanting Ram Nam for their whole lives. Yet, after chanting Ram Nam, what happens? Oh, no, the big bowl. Right? Is that how they say, Kava? And the marble or the tile or whatever it is at the Ram Mandali is all broken from the from making the kava, and they're passing the kava bowl around. So, I mean, not to criticize anybody, but why can people chant Ram Nam their whole lives and not become purified, whereas Valmiki became purified? Does anyone have any idea about that?
They're not getting the knowledge from the right source in the disciplic succession. Valmiki is a bona fide person, and Tulsidas is not.
Well, I don't want to criticize Tulsi. That's not where I'm going. This one, I'll get lynched if I do that one. But you actually hit on it. It's that they're not actually chanting Ram Nama. I hate to tell you that. They're chanting something called Nama Bash. In other words, they don't have the Shuddha Nam. Because the holy name of Krishna cannot be Krishna or Ram, cannot emanate simply by the movement of one's lips and tongues. It just doesn't. It's not like that. It's not a mundane sound vibration. It's not that, you know, a parrot can be chanting the holy name of Krishna, unless of course, it's a pure devotee parrot, like Radharani's parrot or something. So, because the name has to descend. Golokera Prema Dana Huri Nama Sankirtan. That the name comes from Goloka Vrindavan. So in other words, if you don't receive your name, or not your name, but the name of God from disciplic succession, guess what? You won't become purified. I mean, you get some effect, Nama Bash. I understand that. You know, it does do certain things like give you liberation. But as far as purification or giving up the anarthas, it doesn't work. So you can see, like, not only, this is not only like a I don't want to say criticism, but a statement on Ram Mandalis, but also on the many kirtan groups that are here in the Western world. Like in the Western world, you have many people who chant not only Ram Nam or Krishna Nam, but, you know, Shiva Nam, or even There's one big group, the Gayatri group, isn't it? They chant the Gayatri mantra in Kirtan. You ever seen that or heard about that? And yet, so many anarthas are there, and there's no purification. Because the name has to come from a disciplic succession. You see, that's really what one unique thing that we have about Krishna's name, is that we are connected with this evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidhu, as Krishna says. In other words, the name was passed down, like Kushav Krishna, Lord Brahma, then Narada, then Vyas, and then down through, of course, Bhaktivinoda Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Gokishra Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, and ultimately our spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So that's a very rare thing, to have the Shuddha Nam, to have the pure name. And that's one thing we can offer others that nobody else can offer. I mean, unless people are connected with another bona fide disciplic succession. I mean, obviously, this is not a criticism of bona fide disciplic successions. Like, if you go to South India and we go to Ramanujacharya's temples like Sri Rangam or Kanchipuram, they're chanting Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. And that's a bona fide chant, too. So they're actually becoming purified too, and they have really, what we say, Pukka Brahmanas there, really nice Brahmanas there in those temples, because they're actually able to maintain their position in the mode of goodness. So, therefore, you know, we have a unique connection with Ram and Ram Nam. However, there's another quality that's required in order to chant the Shuddha Nam, and that is you have to follow the directions of the disciplic succession. Not only do you have to receive the name, but you have to follow directions of the spiritual master insofar as the sadhana process. Then you not only have the ability to receive the pure name, but you have the ability to transmit the pure name. Even if you're not yet completely purified of all the anarthas at this point, following the instructions of the pure devotee in the disciplic succession, you can give others the pure name. Like I said about Lord Chaitanya, like whoever saw Lord Chaitanya or heard the holy name from Lord Chaitanya, he became purified. Whoever saw that person, he became purified. Whoever saw that person, he became purified. And it's like it expanded exponentially to everyone in India, or at least South India, or wherever Lord Chaitanya traveled at that particular time. So we have a great responsibility to always present the knowledge, and, you know, this is getting back to another point that Dworkin said, without criticizing anyone else, to always present the knowledge and the mantras that are coming to us from the disciplic succession, and always follow strictly. And that means we shouldn't be chanting mantras that we haven't received in disciplic succession. The statement is Sampradaya Vihinai Mantras Te Nishpala Mataha, that if you chant a mantra that you haven't received in the disciplic succession, it doesn't have any effect. Or most namabash, but no spiritual effect like that. Haribo! The Anurag, the follower of Radharani, Lalita Devi. Did you know that's what your name means?
Yes.
That's Lalita Devi's name. Or Vishaka. Lalita or Vishaka. Anuradha. Did you know that? It's interesting. Like, yeah. Yeah. So getting back to the point of the pure name, so we have a great responsibility to be representatives of the disciplic succession, and we have a great power too. All of us have this, all of us, not just those who are sannyasis, have this great power to help others and to transform the world. Tadvag visargo janatada biplavo Yasmin Pratisloka Abadavachapi Namananantasha Yasho Nikatani Yat Shinvanti Gayanti Grananti Yat Sadavaha. Does anyone know that verse? No, nobody knows that verse. Tadvarg Visargo. Those words, Visarga, that is within this universe, Janataga Aga, that in which the people are very sinful. Janataga Vipalo. Yasmin Pratisloka Abadavachapi can cause a revolution in the misdirected lives of this sinful or as Prabhupada translates it, impious civilization, even if imperfectly composed. And Prabhupada cited that verse in the beginning of his translation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada commented that his ability to present the philosophy, at least in English, according to technical rules and regulations, was imperfect. I mean, you see Prabhupada's original Bhagavatam. There's so many English things that should be, you know, adjusted, which were done gradually later on. However, even if there's so many, like, English mistakes or whatever, if one presents them according to the cyclic succession, then it can change the face of the whole world, which is actually Srila Prabhupada's intention. That's why Srila Prabhupada is called a Jagat Guru. Jagat means not only the world, but in fact the whole universe. So Srila Prabhupada had a vision not just to have one temple, two temples, or a society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but to have a revolution in the whole world. Not one of the revolutions that we experience today, you know, different countries like, you know, anyway, countries that some of you come from, where there are revolutions. And that revolution was a good revolution because, in one sense, materialistically good, because it helped establish equality between the different races. But a real revolution is the revolution in consciousness, to change society. And that, we are part of that revolutionary force. Think about it like that. That was Prabhupada's vision. And that's one of the reasons, or one of the things that inspired me the most when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the 1960s and 70s, was that our consciousness, at least the consciousness of many of the young people at that time, was to change society. And many people had different concepts of how to change society. The young, you know, the youth movement, the revolutionary movement, the hippie movement, whatever you call it. We had many different ideas of what that meant to change society. Some people thought it was just like love, all you need is love. And, you know, don't take a bath like everybody else is. That will change society. Or there were sit-ins at different universities. There were protests and everything like that, of course, against the war in Vietnam. However, only Srila Prabhupada had the idea of how to really revolutionize society. All the other revolutions are just basically, what do they say, the same wine in a different bottle. You understand? Like, even if you have a communist revolution, it's just one group of rascals controlling that kicked out the other group of rascals. I remember the 1970s, early 1970s, they had the Iranian Revolution. There was one person called the Shah of Iran. I don't know if you ever heard of his name before. Yeah, he actually was visiting our temple in Los Angeles. His family, you know, they were taking instruction in yoga under the jurisdiction of some of the sannyasis who were preaching in a very disguised way in Iran. And so they had a revolution in Iran against the Shah, and then Khomeini took over. You had the theological people take over. But it just turns out one group of cheaters for another group of cheaters. In the name of religion, many times there's cheaters. In the name of equality, sometimes there's cheaters. I mean, basically this material world, we were speaking about this before, is the cheaters and the cheated. And, you know, it's a very heavy statement to say, but that practically everyone who is not Krishna conscious is cheating in one way or the other. Every leader is not Krishna conscious. I mean, they may have so many materially good qualities, but they're cheating the people. They're, as described in the Bhagavatam, Andar Yatanda Rupa Niyamanas, Tepi Shantantra Murdam Nibala. Does anyone know what that means? They're blind, Anda. Anda Yatanda Rupa Niyamanas. They're blind people leading other blind people. So, in other words, Prabhupada would call them misleaders. Just put that prefix in front of leader, so misleader. So, Anda Yatanda Rupa Niyamanas, Tepi Shantantra Murdam Nibala. Therefore, they both go to hell or fall into a ditch, as the Bhagavatam says. So Prabhupada, he was a real leader. And his idea was to have a real revolution in society, to change society from this materialistic viewpoint where the whole goal is to enjoy the senses to the utmost degree. And that goal is actually propagated by Western society, at least by the business interests, because that way they can sell more of their products. So that to change it from that to pure devotional service, you know, that's really revolutionary, isn't it? I mean, to change from selfishness to absolute selflessness, to absolute devotion, anyabhi lashita shunyam gyana karma navratam anukulyena krishna anushilana bhaktu dupam, to absolute devotion devoid of any desire, even for the desire for liberation, from absolute selfishness. Isn't that? That's a remarkable revolution. So we are part, that's what inspired me, which is what I was saying before, in the 1960s, that here was a society where you would actually change things. And that inspired me in the Krishna consciousness movement to join and also to preach Krishna consciousness, because I could make a change in the world, not just in a small society. So we should have this dynamic vision, because we do have the Shuddha Nam. And anybody who hears that name, just like you have the Hari Nam that goes on. I know some of you are very enthusiastic about Hari Nam. Anyone who hears the name gets purified. And I'll give you an example. Even if they don't mean to be purified, they get purified. The example is Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. I mean, her mentality, her motivation was to cause Haridas Thakur to fall down. And she was hired by Ramchandra Kant. Yeah, that was the name. She hired by him. He wanted to cause Haridas Thakur to fall down because he was envious. So he hired her. He said, he talked to all the prostitutes and said, any of you want to take this job? And she raised her hand. You know, I could do it. And he said, you're hired. And he said, I'm coming with my soldiers. She said, no. Just give me 3 days. She was so self-assured, so proud of her ability to allure someone, that she said, please give me just 3 days. And the third day, you can come with your soldiers to see what's happening. So she tried her best, you know. She came to Haridas Thakur. He was chanting in a secluded place. And he was a young man at that time. Not just an old person. He was actually quite young. He was in his 20s. And he was Lord Brahma. And also Prahlad Maharaj, both things. But anyway, he was Lord Brahma. Do you know why he had to take birth as Lord Brahma? Why? As Haridas Thakur? Why? Does anyone know the story?
He stole
the coward voice. So that was his punishment. Pretty good punishment. When Krishna punishes, I mean, it's a nectar punishment. So what happened was that, I wouldn't mind that punishment. Being associated with Lord Chaitanya and chanting the holy names, 3 lakhs a day. You know what 3 lakhs means? How many rounds is 3 lakhs? Does anyone know what a lakh is?
192 rounds.
That's 192 rounds. A lakh is how much? 100,000. So 100,000 names is 64 rounds. So 64 times 3 is 192. So can you imagine how many hours a day that was? How many hours a day would that be?
Well, 8 hours.
8 times 3. Yeah, for most people, the rate they chant, it would be actually 24 hours. But, you know, he chanted quicker, so he had a half hour for resting and taking prasadam. No, Prabhupada actually chanted quicker, too. Prabhupada chanted 5-minute rounds. So there was more time for other things for Haridas Thakur. So, I mean, that's a pretty good punishment, to be so absorbed in Krishna's holy names and be the Namacharya and to associate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wouldn't mind stealing some calves and coward boys if I could have that result. Yeah, I'll go and steal them. But so anyway, he was chanting, young man, and this young beautiful girl came up, and she said, you know, Haridas. You know, whatever she did. I'm a sannyasi, so I don't really know about these things. Waved her eyelashes at him. And she said, you're young. And he just to trick her, he said, let me finish my rounds and whatever desire you have, then it'll be fulfilled. And so she just sat there. She offered her obeisances also to Tulsi Devi, which was right there. And Haridas was chanting all night long. And he apologized at the end of the night. He said, I was chanting too slowly, so, you know, please wait a little while until I finish my round. So the next day, same thing happened, but she began to imitate his chanting. But it was Shuddha Nam. So she began to imitate his chanting. And by the third day, she had actually had a change of heart, the end of the third day, and she offered her obeisances, and basically she took sannyas. She went from the lowest possible position to a renounced lady that everybody was worshiping. I mean, she basically said to Hari Das Thakur, please instruct me. He said, give away all your possessions. Imagine that. From lowest position to highest position. Give away all your possessions and give to the Brahmins like that. Come back here and chant in front of Tulsi, and the people will take care of you, and Krishna will take care of you. Shave your hair off. I mean, that's a big one. If I told any of you ladies to shave your hair off, you say, I need it. We need to join another movement here. Because Prabhupada said one of the main businesses of ladies is combing the hair. He wasn't combing. Before I joined the movement, I combed my hair a lot too, but now nothing to comb anymore. It's easy. Just wake up and clean it. It's easier. So anyway, so she shaved her hair and chanted Hare Krishna, and she became a great saintly person, went back to home, back to Godhead. Wow. Just from hearing the Shuddha Nam. And even with the story of Jagan Madai, it's very similar. That before they actually became saved by Lord Nityananda, they were getting drunk outside of Srivasangam. Did you know this? Srivasangam was where they were having kirtans 24 hours a day, at least all night long and most nights. And so they would imitate the chanting. Just like sometimes we devotees go out in Harinam and you find drunks and they imitate the chanting. You ever seen that? You go, Harinam, and the drunks go, ah, I got. Yeah. And so they would imitate the chanting, and they became so purified that, of course, Jagai stopped Madai from hitting Lord Nityananda a second time. And that was the beginning of their purification. Of course, later they apologized to Lord Nityananda, got his mercy and everything. But part of that process of purification was hearing the Shuddha Nam, the holy names, like Prabhupada said, from the lips of a pure devotee. Of course, they were hearing from Lord Chaitanya's lips and the lips of Lord Chaitanya's associates. So that's our secret, the Shuddha Nam. And that's the one thing we have. We have other things, of course, prasadam and other things. But one thing that distinguishes us from 99% of all these religious groups, or whether you call them mandalis or churches or mosques or whatever, is that we have the Shuddha Nam. We have the most powerful weapon, and we should never forget that. And that's why people can chant Ram Nam their whole lives and not change, their lives don't change. And we can chant Krishna Nam or Ram Nam for a few days, and our lives change completely. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has such an effective movement, because of the Shuddha Nam. Anyway, that's what I wanted to present. And I talked a lot about that during our Ram Naomi program, that it's not simply chanting Ram Nam, but it's receiving it from the right source and chanting with the right attitude. And then you get pure devotional service. Of course, one more example about that pure, the pure name is Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had mixed intention. It was karma mishra bhakti. He wanted actually a pretty big result. He wanted a bigger kingdom than Lord Brahma, basically. But he got the Shuddha Nam from Narada Muni. And because of that, he gave up his desire. So that's a test whether you actually have the Shuddha Nam. That you actually give up whatever, you consider whatever desire, intention you had before to be no more than pieces of broken glass, like Dhruva Maharaj said when he saw Lord Vishnu. I was looking for some broken glass, and I have now found a wonderful gem or a beautiful gem. Very important. Okay, so any questions or comments about that point? The name. We call the Hare Krishna movement for a particular purpose, because we chant Hare Krishna purely. Yeah?
Everyone receives the name,
yeah,
in any case, from the simple succession.
Not everybody.
Right?
No, let's say... let's say someone is just chanting, there's some kirtan group and they're chanting Hare Krishna, for example. They haven't received the name from this
book. Yeah, but when do they take it? I mean, ultimately, all goes to Krishna, isn't it?
Yeah, but if there's a break in the chain. See the chain, what are they saying? The chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Anyone's heard that statement before? Well, I'll explain what that means. Let's say you have a chain. Okay. And every link is strong, but one link is weak. So the strength of that chain is determined by the strength of that weakest link. Does everyone follow the logic of that?
Yes.
No one's heard of that statement before? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Think about it for a second. You got to think about what that means. That the strength of the whole chain, let's take the totality of the chain, is determined not by the strong links, by the weakest link. Because it breaks because of the weakest link. It doesn't break because of the strong links. So even Krishna states in the Gita, he gives a disciplic succession that he formed many millions of years ago. Who remembers who was the first person in that disciplic succession millions of years ago?
Surya.
Vivaswan, yeah. That's his nickname. You gave me his nickname. He didn't. But his name was Vivaswan. Anyway. Imam Vivaswate Yogam Poktavana Hamalpiyam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manurikshvakave Bravit. So Vivaswan instructed who? Ikshvaku instructed Manu. And essentially that was the Vivasvata Manu. You understand? There's Vivasvata Manu. There's different Manus. How many Manus in the day of Lord Brahma?
14.
Yeah. Who was the first Manu? In this day of Brahma. Starts with an S.
Swayambhuva
Manu. Okay. That's good. So a little test here to keep everybody awake. So Vivaswan, he heard this from Krishna. Who else was there at that time? Here's another test for you. When Krishna spoke it to Vivaswan, who else was there at the same time? Name starts with an A. Who?
Arjun.
Yeah, Arjun was there. Krishna says, you know, you were there at that time. So Arjuna was there, but maybe his name wasn't Arjuna at that time. You know, maybe it was Vivaswan Putra or something like that. I don't know. But it was, Arjuna was there. Many births, both you and I had, but I can remember all of them. You can't. So Prabhupada said Arjuna was there. So then Yoganashta. So it was broken at a particular point. It's not specific in the Gita where the disciplic succession was broken. But Krishna said, it was broken. Therefore, I have to instruct it again. So that link became broken. So disciplic successions, after some time, they do become broken. The chain becomes broken. Like if you have one rascal, that's all it takes. And the whole thing's finished. This word kaput. Anyone heard of the word kaput before?
Yeah.
You know that word?
Yeah. It's a German word.
It's a German word. Really? How come you all know German?
People
kaput! Really? Really?
Yeah.
Is that a Hindi word too?
If it's something like doesn't work, then it's kaput.
But that's not Hindi. That's not shrewd Hindi. That's German. Kaput! You got to pronounce it properly, like a German, isn't it? Kaput. It's like kaput. I mean, it's finished in German. So if you have one break in that disciplic succession, kaput, it's finished, and there's no more shudanam, no more pure knowledge or anything like that. So it's a whole science. It has to be passed down as you've heard it. Samitpani Shrochiyam Brahmanishtam. And like that was Prabhupada's. Prabhupada said, if there's any credit, I am repeating the words of my spiritual master. Of course, in such a way that we can understand in modern language with modern examples or examples that we could understand. But that's. So that answers your question. Yes, ultimately it does come from disciplined discussion, but through people who weren't really qualified and therefore they didn't hear the name from the lips of a pure devotee. And the statement is, of course, that if one hears Krishna Katha from those, or Krishna's name from those who are not pure devotees, the sarpo chisti yata payam, then it can also poison one's spiritual life. Like if you hear Krishna Nam from an impersonalist, or someone who doesn't believe in Krishna, someone who's adverse to Krishna, it can actually poison your consciousness. It can give you more anarthas. Why? Because it's like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Milk is very nice, and it has some serpent venom in it. That means the poison from the serpent. Then it can be poisonous. I mean, the milk is very nice, but mix one drop. All it takes is one drop, and then it's it. So one has to be very careful to always hear from the lips of a pure devotee. I mean, sometimes devotees, being very liberal, will hear kirtan from some professional kirtan singers who are certainly not following all the regulated principles, or maybe they're not following any of them, as far as I know. And so you don't really get purified. Even though something may be interesting and entertaining, we were speaking about that earlier, many things are entertaining to us, but they don't purify us. I mean, even if you watch that film, The Ramayana, it's entertaining. I watched it. But why don't a lot of people become devotees or become purified after seeing it? Because the actors are not pure. That's one reason. Prabhupada said if you're going to put on a dramatic performance, the actors have to be pure devotees. In other words, following pure. Prabhupada's definition of a pure devotee was a functional definition in that particular context. Functional means they're following strictly the orders of the spiritual master in disciplic succession. So, I mean, I've given that example many times before, that in our Los Angeles temple, there was the actor playing Lord Ram. He came to the temple and he was smoking a cigarette outside the temple. And devotees ran to him and said, "Lord Ram, you're smoking a cigarette. Where is this in the Ramayana?" You know, you never read about that, like Lord Ram, like that. So Lord Ram said, "I'm not Lord Ram. I'm an actor." So in order for a dramatic performance, Prabhupada gave this injunction, for dramatic performance to be effective, then the dramatic performance has to be done by people who are following strictly. Otherwise, it's entertaining, yeah. I mean, a lot of things are entertaining, like a good football game or rugby game. It's entertaining, isn't it? Not for me. I don't like those things. But, you know, certain things are entertaining, like looking at someone's electronic gadgets for me or something. It's entertaining. But it doesn't purify me. A lot of things interest us. See, we have to be able to distinguish those things which interest us or we find exciting or attractive and those things which purify. I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things, because some of them are just, you know, you're in the material world. You know, sometimes you may want to go bungee jumping, but it doesn't purify you. However, those things which are connected to the disciplic succession, whether it's the name, whether it's the actor performing the particular pastime, those things purify you. Does everyone understand that point? The connection. So our connection, all of us, regardless, you know, whoever we're initiated by, or Diksha, is with Srila Prabhupada. And everybody has that direct link with Prabhupada. We have to keep that direct link by hearing regularly from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That's the message. So any other questions? And the proof is people get purified. Yeah.
Taking that logic with the weakest link.
Yeah.
Do you mean like in this kind of, you would measure it by the weakest link as well?
If someone is following strictly, it's not that, you know, I'm going to measure Bill Mungo's level of devotion to see how detached he is, you know. If someone is following strictly, they are empowered, they're deputized. Like that. Following strictly means good sadhana and chanting the Lord's holy names and following the rules and regulations. And Prabhupada said that even someone like that is considered a pure devotee. And the example that I sometimes give in that regard is like the little bud on an apple tree is an apple in one sense, if it's allowed to develop naturally. So it will act in the same way. So by Prabhupada's mercy, those who represent Prabhupada, follow Prabhupada strictly, have that same potency. They're not considered weak links. Hmm.
I was just wondering about Harinam. So people who hear the name from not initiated devotees.
That's fine. No, but you receive the name from Prabhupada. Like if you go out, you're going on Harinam, you receive the name in Prabhupada's society. Another point is part of following strictly is to remain in ISKCON. And that may be controversial with some people, but that was Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada's order, your love will be tested by how you cooperate together to push forward this movement. Not just how you cooperate to prepare prasadam, but how you stay within the movement to push forward Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada's movement is a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna. And so that's why Prabhupada gave some really heavy statements. If one thinks they can become Krishna conscious outside of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, they're living in hallucination, Prabhupada said. Now, that doesn't apply to people who have other organizations. That's just those who are connected with Prabhupada. If you want to maintain that connection, we have to work within ISKCON society. And then the potency is there. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good film. I like that film, actually. Nimai of Nadia and also Nilachale Mahaprabhu. That's it. They're two together. I don't know if everyone's seen those films. Have you?
It's black and white.
Black and white. Old black and white Bengali films. Yeah, so they would make some restriction on who could play the part. And Prabhupada said that in dramas it has to be like that, too. I mean, sometimes... And also, dramas have to be strictly adhering to the mood of the drama. I know Prabhupada would get very disturbed sometimes when devotees would make a serious drama humorous. You know, people would start laughing at Lord, you know, Lord Ram would come out and, or, you know, Ravana would look like a comical character. But Ravana is not a comical character. He's a very serious person. I mean, he's not a nice person, but he's very serious at the same time. So it has to be played as the person was. It has to be represented purely. Then there's spiritual effect. And then the person gets purified. Yeah, so to answer your question, Albert, is even if someone is uninitiated, Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the holy name doesn't wait for initiation. Although initiation is required, because that's the statement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as part of the process of bhakti, as part of the sadhana process, and it's required, and also without connecting in that particular way, one won't learn the discipline of Krishna consciousness. I mean, you know, many people, they say, well, like to take initiation directly from Prabhupada, right? It's called the Ritvik philosophy. We had one of those people, Ritvik people, go to Fiji. He was near Savu Savu. And he was so determined to be a Ritvik. You know, he's an American. He's not a person from Fiji, so don't worry. So we don't have any of the problems. But he was so determined that he went to one of my disciples' houses and refused to take prasadam because my picture was on the altar. He said, yeah, I'm not going to take this. I'll get contaminated. And then... Then he went to someone else's house, and they were cooking something. They said, "Well, can you make an offering?" And then he took my picture off and of their altar, you know, not of his altar. So I mean, what?
From Mangalarti.
Yeah, you went to his place from Mangalarti.
I didn't know all that.
Well, he's quiet now. I told him if you want the devotees to associate with you, you better keep your mouth closed. So he knows.
He knows
to behave himself. now. So, but the point is that, yeah, so there's this philosophy, oh, you can take, connect directly with Prabhupada. Then there's no discipline. There's no, you know, there's no training in Krishna consciousness at that point. I mean, because if you can connect directly to Prabhupada, you know, I can connect directly to Lord Brahma or Narada Muni. You know, I'd love. You know, I take initiation from Narada Muni. No, because I love Prabhupada. But I mean, you know, just think, you have all sorts of members of ISKCON taking initiation from different gurus in the disciple of succession. Who's your guru? Narada Muni. Who's your guru? Srila Vyasadeva. Lord Brahma. And then finally, who's your guru? Krishna. So then you end up with all this like weird stuff in the movement where nobody, you know, there's no discipline and, you know, everybody's just coming up with their own interpretation of Krishna consciousness. So there is a requirement of initiation, connection. But the holy name, Prabhupada said, doesn't wait for initiation. And Prabhupada has empowered people to basically preach the holy name if they follow strictly and hear from him. So you have that empowerment. It doesn't wait for your initiation. It's not the time of initiation. You know, people think, you know, initiation, I'm going to see Krishna. Why can't I see Krishna? And the poor guru gets bitten by a dog right after initiation. That's what happened in Fiji, you know. I gave initiation 1 hour later. Personified karma, my disciples came up to me and bit me on the leg. You know, it's not just a coincidence that it happens like that. You know, people think it's just a coincidence to get bit by a dog. No. It was because, you know, Krishna was saying, you accepted these people as disciples, so here's a little token reaction from me. A little love bite. A love bite on your lotus feet. So, you know, you think you have lotus feet, says he. He's one of your disciples. No, it wasn't bad, anyway. So, so it's not that the holy name waits for initiation, but initiation is required. If one thinks initiation isn't required, then one is committing an offense on chanting and disobeying the order of Prabhupada, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. So there's that offense, too. And also, blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. So you're committing at least one or two of the offenses by thinking initiation isn't required. But the holy name is available to anybody. I mean, even Prabhupada, here's an example of proving that point. Okay. The example is George Harrison. George Harrison never took initiation. He asked Prabhupada, do you want me to just like shave my head? That would have been remarkable, you know, George Harrison with a sika. Shave my head and join the temple, become a brahmachari. You know, what's your name? George Harrison Brahmachari. So, can you imagine that? So, Prabhupada said, no, just continue as you are and get people a chance. So Prabhupada actually empowered George Harrison in spite of not being initiated. And so many people came to Prabhupada because of hearing My Sweet Lord. You know that song, My Sweet Lord? I really don't. It takes so long, I know, my sweet Lord. And he had other songs too. Was that, oh Krishna? What is that song? Feeling Your Separation, or something like that. Anyway, there was a very popular song like that in the 1960s. So, of course, the first chanting I heard was from Prabhupada. I was listening to the radio one day. And I heard the Hare Krishna album, and Prabhupada was chanting. And that's, you know, that was the Bhakti Lata Beach from the radio. Can you imagine that? And so, but George Harrison was able to bring people to Krishna consciousness. So there's a perfect example of how someone who wasn't initiated, but was empowered by Prabhupada, was able to inspire people in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yeah.
And that
Brahma Madhva Gaudiya.
Brahma Madhva.
Yeah.
And that this interpretation that came from Vibhishva, this Brahma Gaudiya
No, that was a different discipline. It was broken. That's another discipline. A Krishna can start his, like, discipline successions whenever he wants. You know, Krishna is completely independent. But at this time, there's only four bona fide disciplic successions. But at that time, there was that one going on, too. Because Krishna spoke to Vivas one. I mean, any time. I mean, there's other disciplic successions that start and come and go. Like, you have, of course, there's Krishna and Maitreya Muni. That's another disciplic succession. You know, Krishna spoke to Maitreya Muni and Uddhava, too, when he was getting ready to leave this world. So that's another one. So it doesn't necessarily have to be part of those four. Whenever Krishna comes down and talks, he can start his own disciplic succession because he's God. So that was from Vivaswan, but it was broken. The main thing to understand is that one must be connected to a bona fide disciplic succession. And there's four of them right now. And only in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya do we have this conception of unalloyed love at the highest point of intimacy between Radha and Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. Only in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya do we have that conception. But as you could, let's say if you join another disciplic succession, if you're thinking about it, and you become a follower of Ramanujacharya, just like Ramanuja is another name for Lakshman. Did you know that? Ramanuja is a name for Lakshman. So he's considered to be Lakshman. So if you, let's say you join them, which is fine, we have no objection. You go there. Actually, we had one of our god brothers decided to join them. Anyway, you may know who I'm talking about. But he decided to become a South Indian Brahmin. And so that's all right. But the conception will not go higher than Dasharas. And that's all right. We have no objection to that. I mean, that's pretty high. We're on the platform of Mayuras or something like that. Like that. So, but the conceptions taught in the other sampradayas don't go as high as the Madhurya Ras. So the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is to, not that everybody will be Madhurya Ras, but to assist in the Madhurya Ras. Just like we are chanting every day that about the spiritual master, Nikunjayuno Radhikele Siddhyay. The spiritual master is assisting in the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. That doesn't mean that every spiritual master is a gopi. It means that whatever position you have in Braj, you're assisting Radha and Krishna. Whether you're a cowherd boy or you're a monkey. Just like I was reading that story about this monkey. Her name is Kakati. She's an old female monkey. I mean, who would want to be an old female monkey here? So what happened is one time, Radharani stole Krishna's flute. And after Radharani stole Krishna's flute, then you had Jatila grabbed her from Radharani. You know who Jatila is? Mm-hmm. Who's Jatila?
Mother-in-law.
All the mother-in-law stories. In every culture, there's all these mother-in-law stories, isn't it? Even in the spiritual world, you have mothers-in-laws. So, I mean, there's some good mothers-in-laws, don't worry. So, Radharani's mother-in-law, mother of Abhimanyu, she stole the flute and she said, now I have that rascal's flute. And basically people wanted to steal Krishna's flute because he used it to enchant others. That's why Radharani wanted to steal Krishna's flute, because every time he played it, people would just go into a trance and start following him. It's like, do you ever hear of this story, the Pied Piper? You know that story? He was a man who played the flute, and the young people, all the children followed him. What was the reason he took them? I think because their parents wouldn't give him a donation or something like that.
He got rid of the village of all the mice?
Yeah, they wouldn't pay him. Yeah. That's right. They wouldn't give him his dakshin. And so he took their kids away.
Yeah.
Right. It's nice you remember that story. So Krishna is the original Pied Piper. It was Hamelin, right? Pied Piper of Hamelin was the name. Yeah, it was Hamelin was the village. Am I right?
Yeah.
Pied Piper of Hamelin. Just see how much nonsense I remember. Yeah, when we were young, we all read that literature. So Krishna was the original one. So whenever he played his flute, people just started, not only the children, but everybody became stunned. The animals would become stunned and they wouldn't move. The rocks started to melt. So there were many people were upset with Krishna's flute. Even the gopis were upset. That's why Radharani stole Krishna's flute. And then Jatila stole Krishna's flute from Radharani because she thought, now Krishna won't be able to call the gopis anymore. I took away his main weapon. And so she was very happy. But then Vrinda, she called for her monkey assistant, Kakati, and she said, you got to do something, get the flute back. So Kakati went into Jatila's house and started tearing the house apart. You're just tearing all the ingredients off of the shelves. And they said to Jatila, you know, there's a monkey in your house. So Jatila went to the house, and she didn't know what to do. She started throwing everything she could find at the monkey. And the only thing she had in her hand was the flute. So she threw the flute at the monkey, and the monkey, you know, how monkeys make teeth at her. And the monkey grabbed, Kakati grabbed the flute and brought it back. And then Krishna had his flute back. So in other words, even the monkey was serving Radha and Krishna. What to speak of the parrot? Krishna has his pet parrot, and Radharani has her pet parrot, and Krishna has his pet peacock, and Radharani has pet deer. And so they're all serving Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, no matter what their rasa is. So that, therefore, when we talk about the spiritual master assisting in Radha Krishna or making arrangements for Radha Krishna conjugal loving affairs, it doesn't matter what the rasa is. He's making the arrangement and participating, and also arranging for his disciples to participate in Radha and Krishna conjugal loving affairs. So this conception is there only in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, beginning with Madhavendra Puri, and then later Ishwara Puri, and of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the branches coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can take initiation in another sampradaya, but you won't get to that same point. And not that we criticize. That's just what people want. I mean, even some of the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were situated as in Dasharas, some of the followers, like Murari Gupta, who was considered to be who?
Hanuman.
He's a Rambhakta. And we appreciate that. I mean, Murari Gupta was the primary source for the information we have about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Did you know that? We're reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, but the diary of Murari Gupta, the Kadacha, that's a name for diary, was the source of the information that Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami came up with. That diary, one of the main sources. And of course the diary of Sarup Damodar Goswami was the main source for the pastimes in Jagannath Puri. So anyone have any other questions? Well, not a lot of nice devotees here. Yeah.
Because Lahiri said that Lord Krishna descends his name in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it only applies...
No, it doesn't only apply to Kali Yuga.
I mean, what? I'm saying that does it only apply when it comes to the specific succession, or anyone just takes Krishna's name and they get...
It has to come into... For the Shuddha now. It only applies in disciplic succession. Descends through disciplic succession. Other people may be aware, and there's benefit from chanting Namabash. I'm not saying that there's not any benefit. Like if you chant the name Rama, for example, even if it's broken up into two different words, the Muslims, they chant, what is that they chant? What? Haram, how horrible. How horrible, they're getting benefit from that. Haram, haram. You know, they saw someone being eaten by a boar or something like that. And haram, 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 ram, ram. There's benefit, but because it's not coming down to disciplic succession, it's limited to Namavash benefit, which is good. I mean, there's there is a lot of benefit, like liberation and things like that that one gets. But that sort of liberation is not pure devotional service. Sometimes people ask, you know, if they're liberated, why aren't they going back to Godhead? Because they still have their anarthas, and they may get liberated from past karma, but within a few seconds they're creating more karma. So it's not, Namavas is not really where we want to be as far as chanting, nor is Nama Aparada where we want to be. We want to be chanting Shuddhanam. And that Shuddhanam is only when we're chanting strictly, avoiding the offenses, hearing the name from a pure devotee. And we can continue. It's not just once we hear the name from a pure devotee. We hear the name continually, and the pastimes continually, and the katha continually from Srila Prabhupada and his bona fide representatives. And it's not a sectarian thing. You know, sometimes people accuse me of being sectarian. You know, but it's the only way you're going to get purified of all your anarthas, and the only way you're going to get pure devotional service. Pure devotional service or prema or bhakti only comes from pure devotees. It doesn't come from Krishna. According to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Krishna doesn't give bhakti. It comes from, bhakti is independent, and bhakti is in the heart of a pure devotee. So the only way you get bhakti is by coming in contact with a pure devotee. Makes sense, doesn't it? You can't give something you don't have. If you don't have bhakti, you can't give it. Right? I mean, you may have $10, but that's not going to get you very far. But if you have $1 million, then you can give. But if you have $10, you can't give more than 10. Do you understand the point? Like, you can only bring someone to the point of where you are in Krishna consciousness by giving them. But you can't bring them beyond unless you connect them with a pure devotee. So our business is to connect people with Srila Prabhupada. By connecting people with Srila Prabhupada, we can bring people to the highest platform, even if we are rascal number one or number two.
So really, when
is this... rascal number two. Prabhupada says you're not the greatest rascal, so...
So then, where this fits in, where he says, without the mercy of Krishna, one cannot get the...
Yeah, by the mercy of Krishna, what happens is Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Pish, that the living entity is wandering around the universe or all the universes, and Krishna, when the living entity is ready, Krishna directs him to come in contact with a pure devotee. That's Krishna's mercy. But the mercy of bhakti doesn't come from Krishna. It comes from Krishna's pure devotee. You get the mercy to come in contact with Krishna's pure devotee, but you may misuse that mercy. Just like I can give you mercy by giving you instructions, but you may disobey those instructions. Just because you're given mercy doesn't mean you accept the mercy. It's like the rain. The rain falls on concrete as well as on the grass. So Krishna's mercy is to get the pure devotee, but the pure devotee's mercy is to get Krishna. And you can't get Krishna without the mercy of the pure devotee. Yasha prasada bhagavat prasada. You know, you chant that every morning. Yasha prasada na kati katopi. So that we have to get that bhakti shakti from pure devotee. I mean, and that's my experience. Like when I first came to the movement, you know, I came in contact with Prabhupada, but I had so many other desires. I mentioned this here before, I desired liberation. You know, because Krishna says in the Gita, what? Chatur vidha bhajanti mam. Four people come to him for four different reasons. What are the four different reasons? Anyone know? What? Knowledge?
Distress.
Wealth. And what? Inquisitive. They're just like curious. Inquisitive means they're curious. Hey, what? Why do you dress like that? What's it all about? And then once they find out, they leave. But so we all come for different reasons to Krishna. So one reason I wanted knowledge too. That was a big one for me. I was trying to find the absolute truth, but also I wanted to be liberated. And I mentioned that to all of you before, that when I first joined the movement, I would pray to Krishna to kill me so I could go back to Godhead. Every night before I went to sleep, I had my Japa beads and said, Krishna, please. That was my nightly prayer. Krishna, please make sure I don't wake up the next morning. I want to wake up in the spiritual world. And Krishna, fortunately, did not answer that prayer. I mean, or unfortunately, whatever the case may be. But it wasn't a pure desire. It was a selfish desire. Why? Because I want to get at this material world. But a pure devotee is manma janmani janmani shvare bhavata bhakti hoitaki toye. So, but then, I mean, just practically, just being honest, I practice Krishna consciousness, and now I simply want to serve my spiritual master and serve Krishna wherever he wants to send me. Narayana paraksarve nakutashina vivyati. Anyone know this verse? Swarga bhavarga narakeshu apituliyartha darshana. Anyone know that verse? Narayana parak sarve. The devotee of Narayan, para, that means the topmost devotee, sarve, Narayana parak sarve. He can go to heaven or he can go to hell, apituliyartha darshana. He sees them all as the same. Because he's having service to Krishna wherever he goes. Apituliyartha darshana. Darshana means to see. He sees them all the same. So, by performing devotional service, we'll come to that platform. And we'll be happy. You know, if they told me that when I first joined the movement, that, hey, Prabhu, just don't worry, take birth again in the material world, serving Krishna. Like Prabhu said, we should tell people to want to go back to Godhead because people want to get out of the material world. That's like they do go back to Godhead. I mean, it's not a lie. But ultimately, you come to the point where you just love Krishna. You just want to do what Krishna and Prabhupada and Radharani want you to do. That's love. Otherwise, if you just want to go back, that's enjoyment. Right? You know, Krishna, whatever you want. You may crush me by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before. So that is the proof of Shudanam. And you know, and I've experienced that in my own life. You know, that my whole consciousness changed. Is it really? That song, "A Change of Heart." Never heard that song. There's a song one devotee did this modern song, "Change Your Heart," and it played on his guitar. It was famous for many years. No one's ever heard that. Anyways, it's all right. I won't sing it. It's got a. You gotta have a change of heart. And they said, a worm changed into a butterfly. You know how a worm changes into a butterfly? By meditation, but he goes into cocoon. And then this ugly creature, you know, worms are pretty ugly, turns into this beautiful. You ever see butterflies? You have them here in New Zealand? In Fiji, I've never seen a butterfly. They have them there? Where? In Mombasa? Where? I just see moths. Maybe you're talking about moths.
Not in the city.
Not in the city. I've never seen them. In the botanical garden, maybe. Anyway, so an ugly creature turns into a butterfly. And that's called a change of heart. So that is really the result of Shudanam. That's the result of pure chanting under the direction of pure devotee. And we experience that, hey, what happened to all those desires? I just wanted to please Krishna life after life. It's so nice, you know. So, anyway, that's the result. That's the proof. That's the proof that one, and if we don't see people developing Shudanam or that desire to just serve Krishna gradually, they're not chanting the right name. You know, if the material desires remain after 40 years of chanting, or 50 or 60, something is wrong. You know, scientifically, you're doing something wrong. Right? You better call for a technician, you know, to analyze what you're doing wrong. You know, 200 years of chanting, and I still want to serve the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. Right? you're doing something wrong. So anyway, so it transforms the consciousness. It turns bell metal consciousness, and that's the example, of course, given by Rupa Goswami. By proper initiation, which is part of the process of initiation, is following strictly, the bell metal consciousness of the living entity becomes transformed to gold. Oh, there's your phone. Mobile phone. So, any other questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Maharaj just wanted to ask you. George Harrison, when he was at the time of death, he had association of pure devotees, I heard?
Amakunda Maharaj was there, I think.
Oh, okay. The importance of having association of pure devotees at the time of death.
Well, he would at least put on a tape of Prabhupada. You know, at least... Or a tape, I mean, actually that's a dated statement, an MP3. Nobody uses tapes anymore, right? At least put on an MP3. You know, we have so many nice MP3s, and not just that electronic device that keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. That's not how Prabhupada chanted. Prabhupada chanted differently each time he said Hare Krishna. You know, there's a little variation, small variation. So you have MP3s, so you can put that on Prabhupada chanting, and the person will hear Prabhupada chanting and go back to Godhead. So, or you can chant to them. If you're following strictly, following rules and regulations, then you chant for them at the time of death. To remember Antai Narayana Smriti. To remember Krishna or Narayana at the time of death is perfection.
But you even if the person who is on the bed, who is dying... he can, if he's able to remember, but he's not able to chant because of his body.
That's right. He'll go back to Godhead, or at least he'll be saved from the Yama Dutas. Yes. If he's chanting Namabash, at least he'll be saved from the Yama Dutas, like Ajamil. Mm-hmm. Ajamil did not go back to God until he chanted the Shudanam. Remember that. Mm-hmm. This is also, thank you for bringing that point up. But Ajamil was chanting Namabash. And what that accomplished, it saved him from the Yamadutas. But after that, he had to perform sadhana, strict sadhana, and chant the pure name. It's not that just by chanting Narayan, his son's name, he went back to Godhead. He had to chant the pure name. He went to a holy place, chanted the pure name, and then those same Vishnudutas came and took him back to home, back to Godhead. So it has to be the pure name to go back to Godhead. I mean, it's so pleasant to be freed from all the material desires. It's like a big monkey has been taken off your back. We're all walking around with like a giant gorilla on our back. Can you picture that? You know, and there's all these desires are making us bhukti mukti, siddhi kam, sakalaya shanta. Desire for bhukti, sense gratification, mukti becoming liberation, or siddhi becoming powerful in this world. They just like, disturb our minds. I mean, I when I joined the movement, also I had a desire to become temple president, you know. You know, that, you know, just material desire. So I think, if I advance nicely in Krishna consciousness, I will become temple president and one day GVC. I think, you know, that's a desire for city, you know, power, position like that. And so my mind was disturbed. And even one devotee said, well, if you keep on like that, you'll become Lord Brahma in your next life. So you can have your own universe. You know, 4 heads, 8 heads, 16 heads, 32 heads, right? 64 heads. That would be cool. You could have a whole GBC meeting with all your heads. Ravana did that too, you know. When he wanted to arrive at a decision, he had each head was expert in a different aspect. You know, one was psychology, another one was just being a good old demon. And so, you know, they had a meeting, and some of them were advising Ravana not to kidnap Sita Devi. It's not that every head was in agreement. It's just like even when we try to reach a decision, you know, we vacillate, you know, go back and forth. Should I do it? So Ravana was literally doing it. His head was saying, no, it's not a good idea to kidnap Sita Devi. And the other head was saying, but she's so attractive. And they were having a big argument. But finally, the demon aspect won out. And Ravana told the other heads to shut up. And he tried to kidnap Sita Devi. So It's very disturbing. In other words, it's like having an internal conflict to have all these desires. And it's so pleasant not to have any desire. Or the desire only to please Krishna. Because then whatever comes, then you're happy because you're serving Krishna. Even if death comes, what's the problem? Then you just go on serving Krishna. That's all we ask for. Our only, like the gopis, they were told by Krishna, your love for me is so great, there's no way I can reward you. The only reward is that very love itself. You understand? So that very love is actually the reward for Krishna consciousness, and that's the most pleasant, satisfying thing that one can have. Okay, time for prasadam? Because we have a desire for prasadam. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It went on too long. Oh my God, over an hour.